Welcome, everybody, to Criticalize Leadership with New Horizons podcast. This is episode 9, and I'm delighted to have Criticalize CEO Matthew Blagg with me to discuss some of the key trends for the year. And I guess we should be wishing everyone a happy new year, shouldn't we, Matthew?
Very much so, Mark. I hope you had a wonderful break over Christmas.
I did.
You're raring to go in what will be an extremely exciting year.
I did. I'll be trying to get fit again after way too much relaxing. But yeah, it is a big year, isn't it, for many companies. And there is a huge amount of uncertainty out there. And I guess that the starting point for us in this podcast is looking at some of those forward trends and what to expect over the coming year. I mean, from a leadership perspective, Matthew, do you think CEOs and senior leaders will be having an easier ride in 2022?
I think this is going to be a really big year for CEOs and leadership teams. I think it's going to be brutally hard.
Okay.
All of our insight from Critical Eye is that the combination of the interest rates beginning to change upwards, inflationary pressures pretty well in all areas of in all parts of the world, and then the rippling through of COVID creates this sort of, to use a well-trotted term, a perfect storm. I think what you're going to see then is a differentiation between leaders who are able to thrive in that environment and leaders who won't. And you've got to be bold, you've got to be big, you've got to align everyone, you've got to have followership. And if you do, it's going to be a good ride.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, in terms of 2021, we saw the challenges caused by supply chain disruption, energy price hikes. The labor market sort of defied all the predictions, really. And I think it's left a lot of people puzzled, but it's clearly been a tightening around that. And then, like you say, we have inflation and the new variant. The story is around people and how leaders are being tested in their ability to, like you say, create the right culture to manage uncertainty. Do you think then adaptability is going to be one of the key characteristics, and that sort of ability to flex and move with these fast changing market conditions?
I think adaptability is key. I think transparency and honesty. I do think that organizations, that there will be a real focus on two elements. One is productivity. I think that you're going to see that becoming a much bigger thing with all those inflationary environments. That element of productivity is going to be on the table. And the second one is simplification. So leaders, the clearer they have as a business plan, the clearer their strategy is, the more they can execute it and understand the rewards, the resources they need in order to be successful. And that then links to that culture and that adaptability to adjust, but with those two elements, I think, becoming increasingly focused.
Okay. I mean, we'd certainly come on to the people aspect, and we have some interesting findings from our latest CEO research that I'll bring in. But if you look at the capital markets, say, I mean, you can argue very strongly that there's a bubble for publicly listed companies, and in PE, you've seen some eye-watering multiples where it's 30 times EBITDA, and I've heard one advisor recently describe it as a feeding frenzy for investment bankers. That is going to have consequences as we move into an environment where interest rates are higher and debt isn't as cheap as it has been historically.
Well, you've had pretty well globally asset inflation over the last 12 months at a rate that I don't think anyone would have foreseen. Yeah. Now, I think we're coming towards some of the implications from that. And the challenge now is to perform against some of those values. There is still a wall of money out there. So, you know, it's not that there won't be areas of frothiness. I think, though, that you'll see that being more segmented. I think that if you come off that growth structure, I think that it could be a brutal fall from grace. And there will be more scrutiny. And I think shareholder pressure will be stronger in all elements, including on the houses themselves. So I think that pressure is the bit that to watch, because that pressure is going to then go on to leadership teams, which are pretty tired, and management structures that are pretty weak. And I think that's the real dynamic you're going to see in 2022. I think you will see corporate failures coming through. And I think you'll see that at all sizes. I think you'll see some big names get in trouble. I think you'll see also really a tightening up on the SME environment as capital gets tighter at the low end of the
It'll
market.
be the integrity of the story, won't it, behind the business?
I think that the integrity of the story and the alignment of the resources against that is the single differentiating factor that everyone will be assessed against. And I think that is always the case, but it'll be more visible and brutal in 2022.
Okay, you mentioned there about the management underneath potentially being weak. Could you expand on that? Because I think that's an interesting area.
Well, I think that over the last 2 years, I think for most organizations, there's been this fluidity between performance and survival in terms of as varying stages of COVID have riffled through. I think as we're moving to now, again, with the tightening marketplace, you've really got to be on front footed, you've got to be on your A game. And that means you've got to be able, as a leader, know that if you pull something underneath there, that you get the right behavioral change. And that management structure is going to be key to that. If you don't have that alignment and competency, if they're not fully performing, I think you're going to see real gaps between what the leadership feels going on and then what's happening on the ground. And that's the real issue that I think you're going to see in
I
22.
think some of that weakness was initially for the more office-based businesses attributed to the hybrid way of working or virtual, as it was for large portions of of last year in the UK. But I think when you got that return to the office, there was we realised there was something deeper going on, and it was some of the real gaps were kind of being understood more clearly. Do you think that's fair to say?
Well, I think it's that. I also think that 2 years of brutality in terms of that message coming from around on a global basis, I think that gets that naturally creates a more tired workforce. And I think that's part of this issue now is for leaders, you've really got to incentivize and optimize a tired structure. And that becomes increasingly difficult as the leaders themselves are under such pressure. So it's more just a reflection of how hard it's been. I think there's no question the well-being issues have been huge, and we're still not able to do things in the way that we want to. And that's the really difficult bit, and that creates insecurity, and that insecurity can create failure.
Because we've seen it in the pop-up boards that we run at Critical Eye, where people have wanted to discuss how do you keep a dispersed workforce motivated, energized? How do you keep those energy levels up? That still remains front and center, doesn't it, in a lot of organizations?
Well, I think it kind of always has and does. So, I mean, essentially, if you look historically, that energy element from getting the everyone in the right place, I think it's just 2 years of brutality. You know, that mix of virtual in person, productivity levels coming through, and then you've got that complexity of distorted supply chain issues. It makes it very difficult to really lead in a dynamic way. And I think that it does mean that you've got to have the ability to adjust, and within that, to adjust positively with your resources. And I think that's the real key at the moment.
Okay. I mean, the story very much remains people. How does the HRD need to support the CEO in this environment, especially if the CEO is new to the role?
Well, I think that dynamic between the CEO and the HR director is never more so than the where we are today, because I think that you've got to blend sort of organizational structure, which I think there's a massive amount of change going through at the moment in terms of change of skills required at a point where there's a huge amount of flux. You've then got to blend two things, well-being and productivity, and that's a really, really hard thing to get right. And I think that's where the CEO and the HRD being fully aligned, they can come out as world-class in both. And that's what you're looking to achieve. You know, how do you create an empathetic culture as well as a high-performing culture? And that bit is really the real key that we're looking for at the moment, and it's really hard.
Yeah, I mean, it's supported in the CEO research that I mentioned earlier. So top priority for the coming 12 months remains retaining and developing talent, followed by diversity and inclusion and belonging. So again, that supports what you're saying. Where do you see some of the challenges around that agenda? So, I mean, I was having a conversation with a private equity chair, and he was saying just that trying to keep staff at the moment in one of the businesses that he's involved in is extremely challenging. The salary inflations are just very hard to keep pace with, and keeping the right people, let alone finding new ones, is harder than he's ever known it to be. So I don't know whether you've got some thoughts around that, Matthew.
Well, I'll be a bit controversial here, Mark. I think that will even out. And I think that there has and will be areas where those resources are under real pressure, and so they're in some of the obvious ones in terms of AI and data science. I think that there's other areas where I think there is resource availability. I think the blend within that is this inflationary environment. So I think you are going to be playing catch up. I think that the as pressure comes, so in a tightening marketplace, there will also be pressure on people who, potentially overpaid and overawarded. And so you can argue that if there is this tightening market, which we expect in 22, the language will change a bit. Now, I think that will probably happen. I think, again, it is situational. There's certain areas that will be still remarkably frothy, but actually, there's some sort of leveling off that I think you might have seen. By the way, I think that's true of CEOs themselves. I mean, I think that you're going to see the continued acceleration of CEO change. And so you're going to see younger, hungrier executives stepping into the role who are prepared to work 24/7, travel the world, and go back into that type of dynamic leadership. And I'm afraid that is the reality of the role. It comes with a lot of pressure, and we're going to see that in 22.
And I guess in some ways it affords companies to look, some companies to look more closely at succession, developing people from within, and the actual talent that they've got within the organization.
Well, there's no question, Mark. We all should be looking at uplifting capability. And, again, I think the organizations that get that right through their organization outperform. And so that absolutely is the key. But that also means having honest conversations. So it's really making sure that there's an alignment between expectation, capability, and opportunity. And that's the paradigm that we're going to all need to work through in 22.
We're fortunate in at Critical Eye that we have members based in Asia, North America. I'm sort of curious from your side, because through this pandemic, the membership that we have in Asia has almost given us a sort of forward lens of what's coming. Sort of, what's your view of the move from some of the Asia-based leaders that you're speaking to, and how they're dealing with this uncertainty?
I mean, I think that in a lot of ways we're starting the year in semi-unified place, which is probably not where we all want to start the year,
No,
if brutally
that's very true.
honest.
Yeah,
So I think that in some ways is the positive. I think that what you do see is that those executives that are prepared to challenge themselves, be curious, and have the competency to have feed-ins that aren't the traditional data set outperform. And you definitely see that within Critical Eye. You see that reflected in Asia and around the world. I do think we all can be comfortable in our own sort of sphere of knowledge. And I think that can be a real barrier. And I think particularly so in Asia, where mostly executives are used to traveling extensively and used to having natural information flow that I think has become more difficult recently. So I think there is more concern around what's out there today than there was 2 years ago.
And I guess as well, I mean, there are real opportunities. And I think that came across in the retreats that we, the physical retreats that we held last year, for CEOs and CFOs, and the ones we have coming up for HRDs and our members in Asia as well. Opportunities around business and operating model change, around sustainability and the green agenda and digitization, and that way you can develop talent and bring people up. So there are reasons to be optimistic, and you do see that sort of passion when you're speaking to some of our members, don't you?
My general view is that the tougher environments, it's more easy to differentiate yourself as a good CEO. And I think CEOs that are competent and capable want to make a difference. It's easier to make a difference when it's a more difficult environment. And I think that's when really strong leaders thrive. And I think you'll see that in 22. I think that there will be a huge amount of pressure. I think it's very easy for leaders to compromise too much as opposed to hold ground. And that is the really key thing in this sort of really challenging environment where there's going to be strong difference of opinion. Those leaders that can really push the boundaries and push out will create an incredible shadow and legacy. And that's really exciting, because that is generally why you go into leadership. You go in to make a difference. The amount of impacts that you have is huge. So that opportunity to create a long-term impact is really big in 22.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, there were some fantastic findings in our CEO research. One that did stand out for me was that 70% of CEOs said they felt more time needed to be spent on long-term planning. And then supporting that, they also said that the strategies is an area where boards really need to focus. I'm guessing that won't come as a surprise to you, but it needs to start happening, doesn't it? This sort of longer term view needs to be built in.
I think that we've all, to a certain extent, been reactive to the last 2 years. And I think that, again, there's now a recognition that you've got to have that clearer medium to long-term vision. Now, I think long-term in each industry has different timelines.
Yes.
But that understanding of what can be achieved and by then and what the requirements are, which I think is the key element strategically, is absolutely essential. And I think that links to also being prepared to simplify and remove things. And I think, again, you're seeing more divestments now, more streamlining. We're involved in lots of carve-outs, as you know, across Critical Eye.
Yeah.
And again, I think sometimes that everyone in leadership thinks that growth is how you're successful. Sometimes it can be splitting things up in order that the parts can be independently more successful. And I think that's the really exciting thing. I think within that, there's huge opportunity as you unlock capability through an organization.
Yeah, and the companies that win will have the boards that are able to have those discussions around simplification. Where is the customer moving? How close are we to the customer? And like you say, you are seeing the divestments, you are seeing the simplification. Okay. Where do you see some of the challenges in the boardroom at the moment? Where are the points of friction?
Well, I still think that data input's difficult at the moment. And so I think the board roles are quite hard, because anyone planning for this year is got pretty sort of tenuous knowledge of exactly how it's going to play out. The data analytics on it are a bit grey. And as such, it makes it more difficult when you come together a board, because that's information pack. It's good to have a much wider scenario base. And I think that creates more tension. And I think around the table, there's going to be a lot more difference of opinion about how that plays out. So I think you'll see that manifest itself. I think the danger of that is that the board becomes intrusive. And I think that can be a real barrier. But conversely, I think there's a danger that executives don't align themselves and bring in a joined-up approach. And I think that alignment piece between the non-executive and the executive board it's going to be really exposed in 22. And I think if it's not right, if you're listening to this at the beginning of the year, whether you're a non-executive on a board or an executive on a leadership team, and there's a gap between expectations between executive and non-executive, you've got to get that on the surface. You've got to get it open. And if it's not open and clear and you can't navigate that gap, then you've really got to think about what you do.
Okay. The question around isolation that we ask in the research, it's still high. It's just over 2/3. What's your view on that? There's this sort of the classic phrase, isn't there? It's lonely at the top, but it still seems to be a lot lonelier than it was. Is that a view that you share?
I think that by its very nature, the further up the chain, that there is less and less reference points. So what you do see, the need increases. I mean, as you know, the sort of support we provide for mentoring and all the other components of access are higher profile than they've ever been. I think the difficult bits are more and more difficult to reflect with anyone who you're vested with. So having that independent access is vitally important. I think there's another component which I think is important. You do need to have fun in leadership. And again, I think that can be difficult in environments where you can breathe, you can be honest and open and refresh yourself. It's really important because the single thing leaders do is inject energy in others. And yet most leaders would openly articulate that they're tired. So that role that we play in sort of injecting energy and excitement, I don't think it's ever been more important.
Okay. Thank you. Conscious of time, did you have a final New Year message for our listeners?
I think that the final bit is that positive piece. You know, yeah. 2022 is a year where you have a huge opportunity to make a massive difference, not only in terms of yourself and your own development and set of achievements, but in your organization, society as a whole. And that's the exciting bit. However tough it gets this year, however difficult the points, just remember that and come into work with a skip in your step. Because at the end of the day, that sort of harnessing a difficult environment is about thriving. And that's the excitement that we've got this year.
Yeah. Reimagining and reinventing, it continues to be a key area of focus. Okay, thank you, Matthew, and thank you to all of you. I hope you enjoyed our podcast, and we'll be releasing another one very shortly.
Take
care of yourselves. Bye.
Bye.